Ja.
Nice to meet you, Janusz.
Nice to meet you, Zoltán. What's up?
Na, kíváncsi leszek, mennyien jönnek.
Mert hogy egy másik jelszót küldtek, az...
Az elcseszték el. Csak
Igen,
így
azt próbáltam, és akkor...
akkor kidobott, írta, hogy nem jó jelszó, hát kiadták a kötőjelet. De
De nem,
megnéztem.
van open-nel kezdődött. Open LSP.
Open LSP. De nem az volt a jelszó, hanem az, hogy Open, mindjárt mondom, micsoda, írtam neked.
Fólió
Ah,
LSP helyett.
igen. Hát én azzal nem tudtam csatlakozni, kiírta egy rossz jelszó. De hát ma írták, hogy biztos jönnek. Csak ez furcsa, hogy miért csináltak
Furcsa, hogy
ilyeseményt.
csak mi vagyunk itt, ez nekem gyanús.
Egyébként felveszik, úgyhogy vissza fogják nézni. Úgyhogy szerintem azt hagyjuk rá. Ezt a magyar beszélgetést. Jó, közben engem telefonon keresnek.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hello.
Morning. Or afternoon for folks. Is it afternoon for folks? It must be.
Yeah, here it's afternoon. Hey.
For us, afternoon too.
Absolutely.
Hello, everybody. My computer is unhappy and unable to join Zoom even with the correct password. So,
So we got the wrong password an hour, a few hours ago, but I found the correct one with the previous email.
very resourceful, and we're glad to have you here. Sorry for the mix-up.
No problem.
Okay. Apologies for the delay in joining. Is Paul on? I can't tell from my phone. It seems like Paul is probably not on. Well, great. Well, for today, we have an exciting development with a new member introduction with colleagues from Kilto joining us. Before we dive in, is there someone who is able to take notes today?
I can take notes, and I will create the agenda. Just give me a sec.
I think the agenda should be there. Yeah, thank you, Simeon. Great. And since we're on a roll, is someone able to take notes for our next meeting?
Hi, this is Johanna. I can take notes for the next meeting.
All right. Thanks so much, Johanna. Okay. So for today, we have a new member introduction from Kilto. We have continued discussion from the last membership discussion, and then it would probably be useful to have a review of open items on from the for all the councils from WolfCon. Are there any other topics that people would like to suggest?
I think in the community council channel the outcomes from the TC results third party licensing results. I don't think there needs to be any discussion, but if we need to have a discussion, maybe put that at the end of the agenda.
Great. Thank you, Peter. Any other topics? Okay. Well, why don't we dive in? And we have Janos. You're going to have to forgive my pronunciation and correct me in just a second, but Janos and Zoltan from Kilto, our newest Folio Consortium member. So, can I welcome so much? Thank you for joining. And this is just an opportunity for you to share about your organization, your goals, and discussion with the members of the Community Council and guests for any hopes, aspirations, and connections.
Okay, thank you so much, Tom. Good morning, good afternoon. We are thrilled to join the community once again because 6 7 years ago we contributed to Folio with the leadership of Zoltan, so maybe he could tell about our past contribution, tell you more. So, what to know about us? We call ourselves Kulto Mongoose, and the reason is that Mongoose is the company, Kulto is the product. In short, we have 25 years of history with libraries and museums. Based on our flagship product, which is Kulto ILS and Kulto Museum System. We are based in Szeged, which is the southern east part of Hungary, next to the border with Serbia, if you can put it on the map. But we have office in Budapest, of course, as being our capital. And also we have a business in Romania. which is quite strong on the market of public libraries. We also have some installation in the neighboring countries. We also run a separated company for RFID products and RFID installations and integrations with the library systems. Our clients are really from all kinds of libraries. So we have academic libraries, university libraries in Hungary. I would say 80% of such libraries in the country use one of our library systems because we have two different library systems now developed in-house. We also have public libraries. The biggest one is the Budapest Metropolitan Library. We also work with the National Library, serving them with the Union Catalog of the country. So, yes, we have a client base, and our goal is to have something for the future for the academic library area, because we see the strong competition from Alma. We face another strong competitor, SoftLink, based in Australia. Does it ring bell to you? It's an Australia-based company, but they have a reseller in Hungary and Romania with their Liberty library systems. So we need to on the long run put something on the table that equals to Alma or even better than Alma, so it's clear. So the same as you desired the system in the first place. And I give the floor to Zoltán to say some words about our development team and
Yeah. Thank you, Janos. So,
schools and
my name is Zoltán Erdős, as Janos said, and I am the CEO of our company. I am a former developer. Actually, I am a former Folio developer because about 7 or 8 years ago, we built and developed the first version of calendar module, the login module, and the bulk import user module, and we participating at Wolfcon in Durham, USA in 2018. So this is my last memories about Folio. As Janos said, we have got around 25 years of experience about building and maintaining integrated library system. So we have got dedicated teams for that. One of our team has got a product owner for our system with three dedicated developer, one tester, and the CTO. In this contract, we want to provide 20 hours per week developer time for Folio. And our senior full stack developer, Adam, who will be the main developer for now, has got at least 10 years of coding experience. So he will be the main dev from us. And the best part, he's working from 1 p.m. until at least midnight. So he can join a team in the USA easily. He can contribute a lot, and he can do meetings at night. Two, he's an expert in Java, Spring, PostgreSQL, and React 2, and fluent in English. So I think he will be the perfect one.
Yes.
So that's all, I think.
We are ready to answer your questions.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Colleagues, assembled fellow colleagues, any responses or questions?
I have a response and question. This is Sean Nicholson. I'm from Michigan State University. We're so glad you've rejoined us, and thank you for this little presentation. I'm curious, well, it's super exciting for 20 hours a week for your developer. I wonder if you could tell us if there's a specific module or set of applications that you're going to be focusing on. Thanks.
Well, we have a kind of dream in our mind, which is the mobile app portfolio. We are aware that there is an EBSCO app, but as far as we know, it's quite limited to EBSCO subscribers. We have a working and on the market app, which is already connected to two different ILSs. So design is to be an ILS independent mobile application. So I believe integrating this app with Folio and introduce it to the community as a Folio app or a white label app, if someone is interested in that, it would be a nice nice dream come true. Course, if the community is interested in it. Zoltan, do you have other things in mind?
Yeah, besides that, we are open-minded, of course, with the base developing module 2. We have some experience about making AI features to our integrated library system too. So if you have a project for that, we can contribute to that area too as well. But we are open-minded, of course. Do you have a list about open projects or topics about what should you guys do in 2026? We can do a meeting inside and we can pick some topics, of course.
Is anyone, I know we have several such lists. I don't know how many of them deal specifically with software development or how fresh they are. Is there anyone on the call who knows if we do have a current list?
The product council has been having SIGs come to it and present their top items for development. I can't remember off the top of my head if that consolidated list has been ranked, but it is in the product council space. I should be able to find a URL here shortly.
I Peter, I just put it in the chat.
Oh, yes, the priority dashboard. Yes, thank you, Sean.
Thank you. I can see that. Okay, and there is a priority list as far as I see.
It's, there's no like overall ranking in that list. It is organized by topic area, and the SIGs ranked like within a topic, but we haven't said like, oh, this priority from metadata management is more important than the priority from, acquisitions.
Okay. We will have a look of this list. Thank you.
The The other group that I understand within Folio has been helpful in doing kind of triage or air traffic control for developer contributions is the release management group. And they're able to, because so much development is done in teams, they're able to do matching up with teams, understanding developer interest capacity, time constraints, and help join a larger team if that's of interest, which hopefully that's always the rub is trying to get people to match up with a larger effort. But hopefully that makes sense. And I think someone on this call may know more about the release management group. It's I believe it meets weekly, but I can't tell you when or where it convenes though.
I'm not on that group anymore, but it meets. Oh, Mike is still on the group, so he could probably talk a little bit more about it. I'll let him go.
Thank you. The group meets every other week, basically, on Monday mornings Eastern, 9 a.m. Eastern time. It's coordinated by Alexei Petrenko, and there's a release management stakeholders Slack channel that is where a lot of the business is conducted, and so that's a good avenue to find out what's going on.
Okay, thank you. I just joined just to the Slack channel, and I can ask about it. And probably
Perfect.
we will join for the next meeting. Thank you.
Wonderful. Well, this is great. Are any other questions or comments on this topic? I did. Do you know? So you'll be doing development. Will you also be hosting?
Yes. Yes.
Excellent. That's great to know. So we have a growing number of potential host organizations around the world, and it'll be great to have you on that list.
Yes, we are interested in hosting specifically.
And one, you may be aware that WolfCon will be close to you next year.
Yes, in Prague.
Okay. That's great. So we'll hope to have a chance, many of us will hope to have a chance to meet you in person there.
Yes, we were there for sure.
All right. Well, this is great. Please feel free to linger for the rest of the meeting or to drop off if you have other places to go.
Thank you. Okay.
Hey.
Let me see. Now I've misplaced the tab. It is difficult to do things with Zoom on this tiny screen. I apologize. But I believe the next topic is the just a revisiting the topic that we ended on last time, which is around value for membership. And I am still pulling up the tab. But basically, we did a ranking. For those of you, to remind those of you who are here and to inform those that were not, there were about 14 items that came out of some brainstorming discussions at WolfCon on what are methods or ways that we could offer increased value for Folio membership with the theory that by offering more value, thanks, Matina, we'd be able to attract more members, generate more revenue for the project, and then be able to reinvest that into the community. So, that's the wrong notes document. We did a as we talked through that, this was the preliminary sorting of the brainstorm list. We asked for people to indicate level of interest or traction in the 14 vote in the 14 items. I believe each person got was invited to tag up to 3 items. And there were some there was a fairly good spread. across the items, but there were some items that were clearly popular and there were some items that were less popular. And in the notes document, which I'm still unable to access. There we go. The top vote getter was development priority influence. The next one was access to technical expertise, which might be coupled with specialized troubleshooting support. Access to training materials and resources was number four. Reserved governance seats was number three. Reporting tools was number two. Discounted rates for Wolfcon attendance, which is already a member benefit, was next, followed by single votes for API and technical training and more institutional recognition. There were five things that received no signs of enthusiasm from the group last time. One of the, if we look at the cluster, the top three or four items, it seems to me that there's probably a good number of things that are worth following up on and to see if we can do further development. So I would suggest we could also discuss other ones if people are passionate. Oh, we do have a larger group today. But I'm wondering if we, I would like to spend a little bit of time talking about the top three, development priority influence, number two and number three together, technical expertise access and troubleshooting support, because I think those might group. And number four is training materials and resources. Does that make sense? I can only see eight of you. Actually, almost no one has their camera on. So I'm trying to read Peter, Rachel, and Simeon's body language. So for development priority influence, this received the most votes. This is not an unfamiliar topic. One of the discussions that came up last time is we need to be very careful with this. Because clearly, as has been discussed at length, the community does at this point does not control a great deal of the, or is not contributing a great deal of the development resources, and those who are contributing the resources have the authority and the necessity to allocate where they're going. So I think this one, we don't want to give potential new members a false impression, but at the same time, perhaps this is an area where we could ramp up on some of the community-driven development as well as community-funded development. And Stephen, you have decloaked. I don't know if you're just giving better visual cues or if you would like to comment on
No, I just didn't realize I didn't have my camera on.
that.
I joined early and then kind of got distracted and I just didn't realize I didn't have my camera on. So here I am. But I agree with what you just said. Generally speaking, about resource allocation and the importance of considering the impact on development resources with the community-driven development effort. And honestly, I'm not exactly sure where that is right now. I haven't talked to Jeremy about it in a while.
Okay, so thank you, Stephen, for decloaking and also for your thoughtful comment. I believe it's safe to say this has absorbed the majority of attention in community calls, the summit since then, and there's clearly appetite and a need in the community for some way to pool development resources and then allocate those to the points of greatest need. So I think we can and we can clearly say that this is a community council priority and a community priority coming up, and is something that we could, with the right structure, offer as a benefit to members. Excellent. Okay. So the next two items really had a lot of traction and I think enthusiasm from discussions at Kansas City and since then. So the idea is, as I understand it, And as I've heard it discussed, is that there's a real benefit as when people adopt Folio, they have usually an implementation partner as they're going through it. So they'll get bootstrap training and implementation. There are a lot of questions that come up afterwards. How are you really using the system? What do you think about doing here? How are you going to carry forward? And there are some open source communities that create a network, a formal network of official adopters who can use each other as resources. So I think the idea is if as people, as members continue to use the system, they would avail themselves and have access to a network of other members who make some type of commitment to contributing time and expertise for their specialists. And that could be around subject matter expertise, functional expertise, or technical expertise. If we were to do this, it would obviously require some sort of way to advertise needs or foster communication, some sort of privileged channels, and then some sort of system for Folio members to make themselves available to others. This to me seems like it's fairly, there's not tremendous capital that's required, and it does tap into one of the greatest strengths of the Folio community is so many institutions that have got knowledge and goodwill and a willingness to share. I'm wondering if others have comment on this, where they've seen this work, particular enthusiasm or particular notes of kind of caution. Rachel.
I just have a practical question in terms of those sources of expertise. Are they also members, or could they be anyone?
That's a good question. And since this is yet to be defined, I'm not sure that there's an answer. I had assumed it would be other members because that has that centripetal effect of drawing people in. But perhaps others have a different vision or have seen it work in different constellations. Sean?
Yes, in the United States, the Data Curation Network is a pretty good analog, I think, for this as members join and then provide expertise on specific areas of the data curation life cycle. Their network has grown. I think there's a lot of goodwill, a lot of good expertise to draw upon on how they've actually made it work. So that's the positive. My caution as we move forward here is I wonder how this fits into the SIG environment and what their evolving role is in the community. Question mark.
Kristen.
Yeah, I think like I'm trying to think about how this could work with, because right now, if somebody has a question, let's say they can bring it up at the SIG, they might bring it up on the Slack channel. I know folks at Chicago frequently chime in with answers, and also we ask a lot of questions too, and we just have kind of relied upon this informal network to help us and to help others, in an informal way. So I think if you're thinking of like a formal way, like where there's more of almost like a mentor or like a project manager that's a peer project manager or something for a Folio area, that could be some substantial work on the part of the person providing that. It's because it's one thing, like if you do ask a question in the SIG and nobody knows the answer, I mean, they don't owe you anything either. They're like, well, never did that before, never come across that situation, good luck to you. I mean, that's basically the way it approaches. If we sort of have like a technical expert, then the assumption is like never did that before, never come that across that before. Now I have to sort of dig into this and try to figure out how to help solve this problem too. So I don't know for the individuals that provide that type of expertise, is that something that the community would also recognize in some way? Because that could be like, that could be, you know, part of somebody's position almost, right? Or they would have to like be sort of setting aside time to do this type of support and troubleshooting for a different institution than their own.
Yeah, thanks, Kristen. Simeon?
Yeah, I think the data curation network model is really interesting, and I think going in the direction that Kristen was just going, sort of advice seems too lightweight to go through all the trouble of sort of restricting it. So the data curation, the sort of the item of work is the curation of a data set usually, and there's a notion that member organizations contribute and receive about 200 hours a year, which is pretty loosely accounted for. Well, actually, it's accounted for, it's just not the accounts are balanced. finding another institution that can sort of curate a data set you perhaps don't have local expertise in is a really nice model. And I think I'm wondering what are the more substantive tasks that are farmed out in a good way like that? Which is, I think, sort of where Kristen was going.
And for me, that's especially in terms of, you know, folks are already working with one of the host vendors in this area. What is the thing that they get in addition that they're not going to get from their current partner here? Because I feel like a lot of these would probably be dealt with via that route. And what we want to do is encourage folks who might be working with a vendor already to also become members. So I think it's also thinking about that sector and what they get that's different as well. And that's not clear to me in the proposal at the moment. That's not that I think it's a bad idea. I think it's a good idea, but sometimes we kind of need the details to understand what the selling point really is for these things.
Thank you, Rachel. Maccabee?
I think what we have as member institutions, and I guess other implementing institutions, is a special kind of expertise, which is the user side expertise, the experience using the thing to meet our particular needs, which is different than necessarily core expertise on how it works in theory, right? So I can imagine the value of a consult. I can imagine like a board, you know, a wiki page for members where like this person says, I have experience configuring circ rules, you know, to meet our particular complex needs. And I have experience, you know, setting up complicated group user permission, you know, things to meet particular use cases, whatever those things might be. So that adds a different sort of value to the SIGs or the Slack channel discussion. You can certainly post a question and ask a question in those channels, and hopefully you will get a good response. But there could be value in a conversation with someone who has done the work and exactly what you're trying to do. Not necessarily a long going membership, a mentorship. I hear Kristen's concerns on that, but just a conversation to talk through something in detail, you know, in a synchronous way, as opposed to waiting for some answers in Slack. I can see the value in that.
Petra.
Yeah, but my question would be, I can't imagine how it would really work. Who says, all right, I'm choosing you to tell them something you experienced? And would that be in the end always the same people who will tell new members what they experienced? So because when you look on it, like I will be a new member and what are my member benefits? It really reads like I can have a one-on-one talk with someone from IT to set up my system when I'm reading the technical expertise access and stuff like that. Wouldn't that be, do we have to rename it if we really want to do it? Or would it at the end always be the same person? So that's are my two questions.
That's a great, those are both great questions. I would assume that it would not be, as one of the benefits of a network of members is you get lots of expertise and lots of people who know different parts of the system and maybe have slightly different configurations. So I think if it were just a one-to-one, I think that raises the sustainability questions that Kristen named is like, wait, I have to support my institution and a different institution. But then also you wouldn't get the benefit of like, well, I need someone who knows CERC, but next month I need someone who's great at reporting or has really been through the API or has grafted on a out-of-band workflow system. One other, Kristen, I see your hand up. Just quickly to sneak in one other place where this also happens in the United States, there's the archive space community. And they have a member that's open source, but they have both a members channel as well as a non-members channel. And there's a good set of information, the conversations and support within the members channel. And most of the members support each other. The way it works, is, as I've seen it, is people write in and someone else says, this is how we do it. And then there's also a non-members channel, which is somewhat less vibrant. It took them a lot of work to get that established, though. Kristen.
Yeah, I guess I'm thinking about the kind of the data curation model. So it sounds like there, like if you want to become a member, part of your obligation as a member is to contribute your time to help another member, and then they in turn contribute their time to help in it. So it's just kind of like the pool of hours. So a new member would also have an obligation then to contribute to other people. Or is there like a time period where you let people get acclimated first, because they might not have the knowledge initially? I'm just wondering how, I don't know how that works.
So, because we haven't yet framed this, those are also good questions. I think the next step is if we think this is promising enough and there's some way to shape this into a member offering, drawing on our own expertise and something that people would pay for in addition to or instead of or on the side of whatever they might be paying for their hosted service provider, can we develop this into, can we describe something that we could try to pilot or explore in 2026? And I'm from this, I'm wondering if there are people on this call or we know of people in the community at large that would like to join a working group to bat this about and come back with a proposal or a constellation of options. And if not, one of the things we might do, it sounds like developing the idea and describing it a little bit further, and then floating out a trial balloon to see if that attracts more discussion and possibly more volunteers might be the way to go. Oh boy, if this went that well, think about training, which is the next one. So, the last one, which got more than three votes, was to develop and deliver training materials and resources from the Folio community. And again, this is something where, aside from implementation partners who obviously provide some sort of training or hosting, once you're implemented, or if you want to think about whether you should adopt Folio in the first place, there's an opportunity for training. And of course, this is something that institutions are accustomed to paying for. So even if you have a if you're a public institution or if you have an implementation partner, this could be offered from a side institution. What are people's thoughts on training?
I'm not exactly sure how we develop a training program, to be honest. I would love to hear someone articulate how we would actually accomplish that, because the Folio organization itself doesn't have any employees, and so I'm not sure how we would Would this be purely asynchronous? We'd create some videos that would become obsolete fairly quickly and then have to recreate them as the releases move forward. As we know, a lot of the Folio implementation details are fairly specific to the institution, and this can change quite a lot of how you would go about certain workflows, et cetera. So it's not that I'm, morally opposed. I feel like this is a pretty heavy lift for the type of organization that we are.
Thanks, Stephen. I'm Maccabee.
I think if we solved the previous question about the one-on-one consultations and then simply recorded those one-on-one consultations and put them in a member directory, that would be one definition of a training resource. I think Stephen is right. They're going to be specific to the questions in that scenario that the person asked, but I think that's actually a value, because Folio, I think there's a lot of availability already on the general aspects of how to use Folio. Certainly the docs website and many videos on, how to use this module or how to use that module. I think the training needs are more idiosyncratic, but there's potential for overlap in those idiosyncrasies where the specific use case that one institution has could be the same as another. And yeah, if it were done by simply recording the one-on-one consultations, that's a low lift.
Thanks, Maccabee. One of the th other things that struck me is we've now recently been asked two or three times, where can I contribute to the community? And I think there's some training about how to be a Folio community member, which we might be have a high self-interest in delivering. I think Mike Gorrell and Peter have both delivered a, this is how Folio works, or this is how the Folio community works. And I think it's a regular fixture at WolfCons, for example. That's awesome. I don't know which hats they're wearing, but when they're doing that, and Mike and Peter could comment, but I think that's something that perhaps we could scale up and repeat, as well as localize. Because right now that's maybe focused mostly on people who come to WolfCon, but not necessarily people from Latin America, which Karen described about 2 months ago. Rachel.
I was just going to agree with Maccabee in that this feels like formalizing the kind of support we were talking about in the previous item, in the sense that, we could have those community members deliver advice and guidance once, and then it can kind of be either recorded or at least noted down in some way that it's repeated, so that same person doesn't have to keep responding to the same types of questions every time a new member arrives throughout the year. I think it's also easy to kind of quantify the support received as well as the support given through something like this. So yeah, it does feel like a more formalized way of doing what we were discussing previously.
Right. Okay, clearly there are a lot of questions on this too. Oh, and Mike.
Thanks. This is just an idea that I wanted to throw out there based on this conversation, but I wonder if there's any merit in developing a buddy system for new organizations that are adopting Folio. So if you're a member, if you are a member, you get to be patched up with another member that's your buddy who maybe has been around longer and can answer questions for you. So just since the idea popped in my head, I thought I would share it.
Thanks, Mike. And that is a great example of something that's happening informally right now, anyway, because I think all of us are eager to see peer institutions and those we work with join the community and have a good go of it. So I know when we joined, we had lots of good calls with Chicago and Cornell and Duke at the time. And I know that we've reciprocated and have had what I hope are lots of good calls with other people who are joining. Is anyone, same question as before, does anyone feel they see a pathway forward enough to be part of a working group to pull together a proposal or a set of proposals on this? Or is this something that we should develop further in with a trial balloon, see what resonates and develop it from there.
I'm not ready
Petra.
for the working group,
Oh,
but I wanted to
Petra
say,
volunteered. Thank you,
no. But I wanted to
Petra.
say, Paul and me, we are already working on what is already there as training material and what is already to find. And I think maybe when we have an overview of that, that could be good to start the working group for how to give training to the community.
That's great, Petra. Thank you. Do you have a sense of when that might manifest?
We are meeting next week again, so maybe December, January. January.
Okay. That is a nice segue to our next topic, which is open items from the recent set of discussions. The online meetings, as well as discussions at WolfCon. Before we transition there completely, we talked about sort of a cluster of top three potential member benefits. Are there any other benefits that people would like to surface or advance at this point that haven't been discussed or didn't get bubbled up to the top? Okay. If there are, there's no bad time for a good idea. Looking at the action items, this is from our first meeting in October, I believe. We did a summary of the outcomes of the tri-council meetings and specifically all the to-dos. I wanted to go through, Stephen, you had mentioned earlier we're unsure about where things were with the seven-layer dip or the proposal, for
Yeah.
example. And I think that's on the list. I don't also don't know what the status is, but if we review this as a group and provide updates, we'll get the benefit of some visibility. So coming out of that, the product council had two to-dos: work on visibility of development requests, the DIP proposal, and create an updated list of Folio modules with maintenance status, including orphaned apps. Is anyone on the call familiar with where either of those items might be? Okay. We can surface that with the PC chairs and find out where things are. TC had an item to develop a dashboard for tracking Jira points and cost metrics, which was a follow-on from the latest community models for software development proposal. Is anyone aware of where that may be?
I can certainly pass on the question later this morning.
That'd be great. Thanks, Maccabee, as our liaison. There is a counting things group that was initially formulated at the DC Summit in spring and is working on capturing metrics around various facets of the Folio community and code base. I can provide an update on that, which is that Jen is doing great work, has reconvened that group. And we have a rough set of things to count and are developing a methodology for trying to count those in a repeatable fashion. We're anticipating that that will be surfaced in January at the next Tri-Council meeting. We had a small group that was working on investigating Koha as a potential model for community-driven development and maintenance, something that we might emulate or steal from. I don't know if anyone is aware of the current state of that effort. Okay, we can follow up outside of this. The community council is working to define membership value to inform a membership drive. We just had that conversation. There is also ongoing work for AWS, a working group to understand how we could do two things. One is allocate the cost better, and two is open up possibly to distributed hosting outside of AWS. Stephen, I think you maybe have, you are the convener, which is what the bold indicates, and maybe you have an update because I know you've been working on things.
Yeah, I went from schedule the first meeting to the convener. So, just a word of caution to everyone else. We've met twice. We have a working spreadsheet that we're using to identify the various stages of the software development lifecycle and associate the infrastructure for that we are currently running for each, and that will allow us to kind of associate. Or should I say, find the intersections of where we believe the truly shared items are, which parts of the software development lifecycle are collaborative and which ones are more individual for the contributors. And so we can identify the infrastructure associated with those various components. So we hope to have something for the Tri-Council meeting in January.
Thank you, Stephen, both for convening or assembling the first meeting and then turning out to be the convener. There is one, no, skipping down to number nine. There was a line items contributions proposal, which was finished at Wolfgang. Thank you to the group. I think Stephen carried it across the finish line, but it was a larger subgroup that worked on that. Paul and I have been in discussions with EBSCO to see if they will officially endorse this. They have not said yes, but also they have not said no. It has been going on for some time now. We had set a goal of trying to get this tied up one way or the other this calendar year. So we will push forward with that. The last item was we were going to use the next Tri-Council meeting as an opportunity for each of these threads to report back to each other. I think at this point, see you, Kristen. I think at this point, it makes the most sense to have the next Tri-Council meeting in January, which was the partial vote of the chairs when they met. Does anyone have strong feelings about January over December? We try to have these on a quarterly basis, is the first question. And then the second question is there a more promising time for the next Tri-Council meeting? Peter seconds the vote for January. I'm believe, let's see, our meeting. Thanks, Stephen. Also a vote for January. I believe our meetings will be January 12th. Is this time slot, so it's the second Tuesday. This group will meet on the second and the or the 12th and the 26th. Probably doing something in the second or third week of January makes the most sense. So if people don't have any objections to that, we will coordinate with the PC and TC chairs and try to find an appropriate window that week. Okay. And we are officially have used almost 59 of our 60 minutes. I think we can declare victory. Thanks, everyone.
Yes, I think we can. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Bye bye.